Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Born in the 1940s. We remember with myself and Jim Fetzer. Jim, I've got a little bit of static there. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Maria. I'm very glad to be back with you again. Like many couples, we have a division in the house where my wife is a very strong Hillary supporter and I prefer Trump. So that last night, if watching the Democratic convention, she insisted we do it on MSNBC. And it was an interesting experience. I thought Michelle Obama gave a completely inspired performance. If you didn't know the background in history, you wouldn't realize that practically everything she said was false.
I know, but she did do a great job. I mean, she was the best speaker last night. Unfortunately, I watched the whole thing, but I watched it on Twitter, so there was no news station attached.
Yeah.
And people were commenting on every single line. And I would, you know, comment the truth on every lie everybody was telling. I did like Cory Booker's speech, what I caught of it. But it was amazing how many people shared my tweets. You know,
good.
So if
That's
you
wonderful.
Get on Twitter and you put out the truth, people will respond.
I thought that Bernie gave a very fine speech, but he is still betraying his principles. Hillary, by God, is going to promote the TPP. Her running mate, this guy Kane, is clearly for the TPP. He's a creature of Wall Street, so is Hillary. I'm very, very saddened for Bernie's followers who have to share my sense of betrayal.
I know. Well, you know, I heard from one of my cousins in Germany this morning. And he asked, why were people booing Bernie? And I said, because they feel he sold us out. I says, he tossed in the towel. That's the way they look at it. He got everybody's hopes up, and then it's the same old shit. I said, Hillary's not going to be any better than Trump, and Trump ain't going to be any better than Hillary. I said, we're screwed, no matter how you look at it.
Well, you know, I think the Democrats have by far the better domestic programs, but Trump is by far better in terms of foreign policy and trade. So that, you know, those are such overriding importance that I tend to favor him. But, you know, it's fascinating because these third parties, the Libertarian and Green, are growing. There's a surge of support. Gary Johnson is up from 12%. Jill Stein up from 5%. We could have a four-way contest in the fall.
Well, I can tell you right now, if, you know, not that our vote matters, let's not leave that out, but, you know, I will end up voting for Jill Stein. Just throwing a vote away. Listen, don't go getting yourself divorced over this election, because I can see it ain't worth it.
Well,
it's not
we
worth it.
We do have occasional words, I gotta say. It's very, very interesting, because when I'm explaining to her about these email issues and about Hillary's degree of corruption and her involvement in Libya and so forth, she doesn't want to hear it.
No, of course not. But, you know, like Jack Blood said to me, and it's really true, I've never met one Hillary Clinton supporter, and neither has Jack. So your wife might be the only one that I really can verify that is a Hillary supporter. You know what I mean?
That's very interesting. You know, what you're saying about Jill Stein, everything I've seen about her impresses me. She seems to be, of all the candidates, the most intelligent, the best educated, the most thoughtful. I'm very, very impressed.
I am too. And you know what? It was weird because I had to switch parties in order to vote in the primary up here. So I made the mistake of switching to the Green Party because they were on the ticket, not knowing I couldn't vote for Bernie that way. So I ended up voting for Jill Stein anyway. So I guess it was meant to be.
Yeah, if only she were getting more publicity. I've reached out to try to get her, to interview her for my show and so forth, but I don't seem to be making contact. I don't have a direct contact. If you have anything, let me know.
No, I don't. You know what? I got to tell you this. So many people are like, did you see this person, that person? Can you get this person on your show? My show is so overbooked. The more I say I'm going to just reduce it to 3 days a week, the more that goes out the window. Because you know, a lot of alternatives are leaving the business. They can't afford to do this anymore. So, you know, I'm kind of feeling like, oh God, am I going to be like the last man standing? It's really hard. I mean, here we are giving people...
You're doing a great job. I got to say, it's really fascinating as these conventions are unfolding, because everybody expected that the Republicans would come out divided, but because of the pick of Mike Pence, actually, the Republicans are highly unified. And given this email scandal, which has exacerbated relations between the Bernie followers and the Clinton group, they've been in a state of semi-chaos. Debbie Wasserman and Schultz was even booed by her own delegation.
Right.
Had to give up chairing the convention and head home to Florida. I don't think she's even going to be reelected.
Oh, I hope she goes away and never comes back. Especially since she was the one that wanted to attack Bernie Sanders' religion. Well, I would think with a name like Debbie Wasserman Schultz, she's a Jew too.
I know.
So what kind of Jew is she?
They did many underhanded things, including scheduling only 5 debates at obscure times, like late in the evening on a Saturday night. I mean, that was outrageous itself. And Maria, state after state after state was stolen for Hillary. That includes Illinois, it includes Ohio, it includes Missouri. Texas was stolen for Cruz. It's embarrassing how all this has played out. And in fact, they're doing a final tab in California, and county after county is flipping to Bernie. I think he'll wind up winning the state.
Well, too bad he doesn't wind up winning the nomination. Do you know what I mean?
I know. Listening to him last night, I mean, his conviction, his integrity, his sincerity, his honesty were all right there manifest for everyone to see.
Right. Well, you know, there were a couple of times where I noticed he had tears in his eyes, and you know they put the pressure on him. And after all this expose from WikiLeaks, Jim, all they did was say we're sorry to him and we're supposed to believe he just caved in. Who knows what kind of threats they threw at him?
I know. And while, you know, they made some concessions, $15 an hour minimum wage and a public option on health care, on the big issue of TPP, I mean, I don't think it's even addressed now. And, of course, both Kane and Hillary are going to promote it. I mean, it's going to be the end of the United States as a sovereign nation. The public just doesn't understand.
Listen, I think this election is the end of the United States. I thought that, you know, sort of, when George Bush, the idiot king, stole the election in 2000, you know, he was pivotal in bringing us to where we are now, and he still walks free. But I honestly believe this is the last election. I don't even know. There's no hope showing.
Well, you may be right, because there have been all these steps being taken to strengthen the executive in relation to taking command of the National Guards of the states, even over the opposition of their governors, to federalizing local, state, and federal law enforcement under Homeland Security. Obama has recently signed a provision allowing the military to fire on American civilians in a second that joins with a pact with the United Nations to protect citizens, that UN troops can intervene, and no one seems to realize that that was designed to allow them to intervene here in the United States, where they're using all these fake shootings to suggest things are out of control.
Exactly, and now let's not forget, they tested America's reaction to a robot killing a suspect. And most Americans said, yay! So
all these shootings are simply ridiculous, Maria. In Orlando, the license for the club had expired in 2013. The legal occupancy was only 150. There were only 11 parking spaces. I didn't see any for the handicapped. Your 50 had been killed and 53 wounded. Then you should have had abandoned vehicles all over the place. I didn't spot even one. It turns out, from a correspondent who lives in the vicinity, it wasn't even a gay club. And get this now, we have police camcorder from inside going through the club. Every chair is in place. Every table is in place. No signs of anything untoward having happened there. Just a bit of dust, right, suggesting the club hadn't been used for some time.
Well, you remember at the end of our last show, which was only 2 weeks ago, okay, only 2 weeks, I said, who knows what shooting we'll be covering next show. And we've had about four in the past 2 weeks.
I know, it's ridiculous. In Dallas, Skip, this was just as bad. There's a Dr. William Mount, who lives in Seattle, obtained the Wall Street Journal at midnight that day. The shooting and all the events were taking place around 9:30 to 10 Central Time. That would have been 7:30 to 8 his time. He reasoned it was much too fast to get this photograph of this series of police officers by this enormous wall into the paper and have it processed in accordance with a normal timeline. And he's completely right. The photograph turns out to have been photoshopped. We have a Google Earth of the same wall, the same pillars, that they had to blow up the background and then introduce the police, making the pillars look massive as though they went upward and upward when they cropped the photograph right at the top so you couldn't see where they end. But get this, we have video footage too at the same location, the same officers, except they're not, they're different officers. And get this, when you do a close-up, they have orange blank adapters on their weapons, Maria. This was another completely staged phony event.
Absolutely. Okay, let's get back to, I'm going to take your wife's side right now when I ask you this next question, okay, because I know the kind of man you are, and I know how you feel about women's issues, et cetera, et cetera. And when Trump picked the worst of the worst, Mike Pence, for vice president, my first thought was, what's Jim Fetzer going to think about this?
Yeah, well, I'm not happy about it. I mean, really, on virtually all the domestic issues, I'm on the side of the Democrats. I mean, historically, I've voted the Democratic. I consider myself a FDR, JFK Democrat. I voted for Obama twice, so I've come to regret it. And I only wish I could get the right combination of the Democrats' domestic policy with the Trump foreign and trade policy. Bernie was pretty close to the mark. I could easily have supported Bernie, Maria. But Hillary is a criminal. She has a history of abuse. From the beginning, they were involved in drug dealing in Mena, Arkansas. She's gone after the women Bill Clinton has abused, several of whom he's raped. He was even booted out of Oxford for raping a fellow student. The Clinton Foundation has been a recipient of hundreds of millions in bribes, including from Middle Eastern countries like Saudi Arabia, Qatar, United Arab Emirates, where they put homosexuals to death, where women who commit adultery are stoned, women are the sexual property of their husbands, are not allowed to drive, they have to cover their bodies. I mean, it's an outrage, and yet she professes to stand up for women. It's really appalling. Roger Stone has a brilliant book about it, The Clinton's War on Women. And of course, you know, one of the great strengths of the convention for Trump, I thought, were his family, his sons and his daughter. I think they're very impressive. And the fact is, that's a strong sign of character. Hillary's daughter, Chelsea, wasn't even fathered by Bill, but by Webster Hummel. How bad is that?
I know. Well, listen, they're both two elitist millionaire people who have what Roger Stone calls elite deviance. The laws don't apply to them. They do weird shit that normal people don't do. You know, watching Trump, you know, not only pat his daughter on the ass, which I almost vomited, but then when he, you know, when he puts his wife out there and points to her breast and smiles at the audience, I'm repulsed by him. And he's got three rape cases against him. And, you know, he was tied into Jeffrey Epstein and his little party island, just like Bill Clinton. And people don't understand, these kind of people, they don't think like us. You know, they have that kind of money that makes them think they can do whatever they want. They can be rapists, pedophiles, whatever. And here we are, you know, saying inequality is the issue. Well, how do you get either millionaire to give a crap about us or the millionaires in Congress?
Yeah.
It's sickening. Yeah. Watching him with his, even with his own child, I want to vomit. Watching his wife, first of all, a porn star, as far as I'm concerned, but watching her, everything about her body language, if you watch her eyes, even when she was giving that speech, It's like she's always looking at him to make sure it's okay to talk.
Yeah.
I mean, that's sickening.
I'm not enthusiastic about that. On the other hand, Bill and Hillary have a bizarre relationship where Bill used to leave Hillary when she was asleep and go to one of his girlfriend's homes, put on a black nighty, snort cocaine from a compact he took with him, and play the saxophone. I mean, that's pretty disgusting all by itself.
I know. They're all sickening elite deviants, okay? You can't get a better sentence for them. But, you know, take a look at Mike Pence. When you were talking about the states that support Hillary, and I totally agree with you, they're the scum of the earth. But you look at Mike Pence, who has passed such terrible anti-women laws in Indiana. Indiana threw a party when they picked him for vice president. They were so glad to get rid of him. He's the one that wanted to pass the law that if you have an abortion, you have to cremate the fetus or have a burial for it. I mean, that guy is crazy, okay? I don't want these religious fanatics in office or even Tim Kaine because let's face it, Hillary's 70 years old, Donald Trump is 70 years old. Neither one of them are in good health as far as I can see. So the vice president picked this year is very important.
Yes.
You
know? I think that's true. And Hillary may have even had one of these transient cranial infarctions while she was being interviewed and started bobbing her head back and forth and attributing it to a cold drink, but it looks like she had one right there.
Yeah, I saw that.
And she got it, everybody.
I saw that, and Donald Trump was, you know, says he's, you know, healthy and in great shape and whatnot. I mean, he's a big, fat, overfed, sickly-looking guy, okay? And he just turned 70. And I'm like, okay, that means we have a real possibility of Mike Pence being president. God help this country, and not his God.
I don't know if we should be more enthusiastic about Tim Kaine for all that.
I'm not. He's going to give Hillary everything she wants.
Of all these wars in the Middle East, that's the great virtue of Bernie and Trump, is that they're completely sick of all of these actions that have really turned the Middle East into chaos, and it was all to benefit Israel, which was the inspiration. I mean, 9/11 was the product of the fertile imagination of Bibi Netanyahu trying to figure out a plan to draw the United States into taking out all the modern Arab states that serve as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the region. That was the whole idea behind 9/11.
Absolutely. Well, I could tell you this, no matter which way you turn, we got war on the ticket. What do you think about them trying to blame Russia for this WikiLeaks and Russia funding supposedly Donald Trump? What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's simply absurd, Maria. They were caught with their panties down, and they're doing anything desperate to cover it up to deflect the tension. This whole Russian thing is simply absurd. Yeah, the former ambassador of Moscow solemnly saying this is the sort of thing Russia will do. We got to understand he's a CIA guy. Then they had two tech experts who also have to be CIA announcing the same. Hillary is the CIA candidate, for God's sake.
Yeah.
This was a ridiculous charade. Russia had nothing to do with this. I have an understanding that it came from a very important American intel op that was sick of the way in which they have been abused by past administrations. So, you know, I'm telling you, that was just a joke as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you know, you and I...
Listen, Maria. If Russia were responsible, why would Debbie Wasserman Schultz, resign? Why would they write a letter of apology to Bernie? They're trying to do anything to deflect attention from the content of those emails, and I'm given to understand there are more to come, and the ones that have been released so far are the most innocuous.
Right. Well, you know, the name of our show is born in the 1940s. We remember. Do you remember during the Cold War, after the Cuban Missile Crisis, every single thing that went wrong in the world we blamed on Russia and communism?
It's just childish that they do this. If you had respect for the Democratic Party, how can you after this ridiculous charade? I find it embarrassing.
What did you think?
They should just stand up and take their lumps. They should explain, look, there was a tension there. They didn't think Bernie was a real Democrat. They wanted to favor Hillary, and they said things they shouldn't have said in these emails and accept it and take their lumps.
I agree, but you know they're not going to do that. And you know that both parties do the same thing, okay? It hearkens you back to Watergate. But you look at this, and I got to tell you, this is the most insane election I have ever seen in all the years of being alive.
It's by far, Maria. And something I liked about the email thing is it reminded us of the email scandal where James Comey and Loretta Lynch let her off the hook for egregious offenses that were core violations of the national security of the United States. She didn't even have a password on her server, Maria. It was that bad.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But we had a lot of people in the Bush administration with the same situation. So, you know, I read somewhere that Bush himself might show up to endorse Hillary. I don't know if that's true or not, but if that happens, that'll be like the Kodak moment of the decade.
That would be bizarre in the extreme, but, you know, they're both neoconservatives. They both favor the destruction of all these Arab states. Where Wesley Clark revealed in his speech at the Commonwealth Club in 2007 how he'd learned when he returned to the Pentagon after serving as Supreme Commander Allied Forces Europe, meaning commanding general of NATO, from another general that it was a plan to take out seven governments in the next 5 years, beginning with Iraq and Libya, ending with Syria and Iran, and it hasn't played out that way, but not for lack of trying.
Mm-hmm. Well, I also wanted to ask you, what did you think about Trump's statement on NATO allies?
I basically agree with him. NATO has, of course, been just the enforcement arm for American foreign policy. The assault on Libya was especially egregious, where Hillary's emails, now declassified, revealed the true reasons had nothing to do with Gaddafi abusing the people of Libya. In fact, the situation was quite the opposite. He was using Libyan resources to benefit the people, national health care, national public education, national warehouses, stock with food. Anyone in need of food could get all the food they wanted for free. If you had a medical problem, couldn't be dealt with in Libya, the government would fly you and a friend or relative, all expense paid, anywhere in the world to have it dealt with. But he was also undertaking the Great Waterworks Project, which would have turned North Africa into a veritable oasis and the gold dinar. And in Hillary's email, it reveals that those are the real motives, that Western banking interests, read that, Rothschilds, were upset that he was introducing the gold dinar, which would have rapidly become the currency of all of Africa, and that France, which has long had a colonialist attitude toward Africa, wanted to maintain its domination and were worried that Gaddafi was growing in influence. But Maria, do you know that Gaddafi was actually surrendering? He had been given an appointed place to turn himself in. He was in a convoy under a white flag, but that Hillary, who had arranged all this, felt it was too risky to have him appear before the Hague at the International Criminal Court, what he might say. She had the convoy interdicted. She had him brutally murdered, including castrated and sodomized, and then she gloated about it. We came, we saw, he died, she cackled.
Unbelievable. Okay, let's get over back to something else that happened this week. When Ted Cruz got booed off the stage, and they had to escort his wife out of there before anybody got physically harmed. Have you ever in your life seen anything like that at a convention?
No, it was extraordinary. I mean, because after all, I mean, the Republicans traditionally have been allied with Wall Street. It's extraordinary. We aren't now. They were actually calling Goldman Sachs as a term of derision when they were taking her out. She's a former executive with Goldman Sachs. She's also a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Ted Cruz did himself so much damage by not endorsing Trump, by violating the pledge that he'd attacked Trump for not agreeing to. Now himself, and frankly, that event did more to unify the Republican Party than any other single instance I could point to, because everyone recognized that this was a bad move. It was a form of betrayal, and they came together in opposition to Cruz and in support of Trump. And you know, Maria, I've done research on this business about Rafael Cruz in New Orleans. He was in New Orleans. That was him in front of the trademark with Lee Harvey Oswald. If you look at it, uncorrupted up version of the photograph. There's a short guy on the right-hand side with dark glasses whom I got to know personally, Chauncey Marvin Holt, who worked as a contract agent for the CIA. It was he who prepared 15 sets of Ford Secret Service credentials for use in and around Dealey Plaza. He said everyone there was a part of Operation Mongoose, and that includes Rafael Cruz. And if you want confirmation, it turns out a very famous color photograph taken by a Dallas Morning News photographer of the motorcade of the presidential limousine on Main Street just before it turned onto Houston and then into Elm to the kill zone has Rafael Cruz in the upper right-hand corner standing beside Antonio Vecchiana, who founded Alpha 66, one of the most vicious of all anti-Castro organizations. And get this, Maria, when I published my first collection of expert studies on JFK, I put that photograph on the cover of Assassination Science 1998. So on the cover of my own book of experts dissecting, shattering the cover-up, there's a photograph of Rafael Cruz. Now, the idea that he could be at both of those locations at those crucial times and not have been involved, at least on the fringes of the plot to take out JFK, is simply ridiculous.
Right. Well, but I have to tell you this. First of all, there's nobody that disliked Ted Cruz more than me, okay, for a gazillion reasons. I think he was voted the face most people in America wanted to slap. But I will tell you this. I would have rather seen Bernie Sanders do what Ted Cruz did than what I saw Bernie do last night.
That's wonderful, Maria. That's a brilliant observation. Bernie should have stuck to his principles. Cruz stuck to his, although it was violating his pledge. But you're 100% correct. And he would have had the admiration of everyone who's ever supported him instead of their contempt.
Exactly. And I mean, I have to tell you, right or wrong, whether I agreed with him or not, I said Ted Cruz showed integrity for the first time, maybe, in his whole life. And it made a difference with me.
But he did show integrity in that regard, which Bernie, astonishingly enough, did not.
Right. But, you know, people that are really believers in their particular religion, okay, I mean really believers, not bullshitters like Donald Trump, who just became an evangelical Christian, a baby Christian, they call him. He did what real Christians I have met throughout my life would do. They stick to their integrity because to them, answering to God over their conscience is more important than a job.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. And of course, Trump doesn't appear to be a religious person in any way,
shape, or form. Of course not.
Which I understand because I'm an agnostic myself and not a religious person. On the other hand, your point about Cruz, I think, is a very nice one, and the failure of Bernie to do the same thing. He should have been inspired by Cruz's example, Maria. You're really making a telling point.
Absolutely. I mean, wow. I said, look at this. That little snake actually has integrity. I said, and you know, integrity's hard to find. Do you remember Aaron Russo, the producer?
Remind me.
He did a movie exposing.
I'm not sure
if I forget the name of his
I
movie.
Recollect.
He died maybe about 10 years ago. I think they bioweaponized cancer his way. He had done a film after he had interviewed the Rockefellers, and it became very popular. And I'm sure they killed him.
You're talking about Aaron Russo. Yeah,
Aaron Russo, right. Well, you know, I was just in the process of scheduling him for my show before he took ill. And I mean, he went down with that cancer as fast as Dave McGowan did. But
that's a CI technique, you know. Judith Baker, Lee Oswald, David Ferry, under the supervision of Dr. Mary Sherman, developed that rapid acting cancer in New Orleans that summer before the assassination.
Well, yeah.
He did it on Jack Ruby, too.
Right, exactly. And I remember Jack Ruby wanting to get out of that place he was in when Gerald Ford and the rest of those losers showed up.
He was going to be injected with cancer cells because he knew about the op in New Orleans.
Right.
He knew what they were doing in order to develop it. Where Alton Ochsner, who is a big wig in the American Cancer Society, was an overall supervisor. I mean, it was a really diabolical plan. It was supposed to be used against Castro, but they've used it against many other people.
Exactly. Well, the point I was trying to make is Aaron's, I guess, you know, his sidearm, whoever, you know, used to post his stuff, you know, or set him up for interviews, you know, as I couldn't get him back on my, you know, get him on my show because he had taken sick. He had said to me, he wrote me a note and he said, "One thing Aaron Russo has always said about you, Maria, is Maria Heller has integrity."
Well, that's wonderful, Maria.
And, you know, I take that as a huge compliment.
He had great courage to make that, too.
Oh, yeah. And look how many people this cost them, their lives, their families, their careers, their finances.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, there's still so little support that it seems like every week real alternative media people are going away. And the phonies seem to be on TV. They got rolling in money. They're at the conventions. They're tying in together. They're staging their fake fights amongst themselves. I mean, this is the craziest thing I have ever seen.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, there used to be an old song in this.
Fascinating, but the media is tight, is absolutely tight, under control. You know, there are only six corporations that provide 95% of all the news, and they're so orchestrated. I was watching a very nice piece where they were talking about a couple stories, and they went to six or eight networks, and everyone was using the same words for the same story in the same order. Unbelievable.
All right. Reminds you of that BBC reporter after 9/11, when she was saying Building 7 fell down while it was still standing up behind her.
That's Jane Stanley of the BBC, yes.
Right. So, listen, I watched a movie. It was called Special Correspondence. It's on Netflix. You should watch it with your wife. I think you'll enjoy it. It's like an it's like an updated version of Wag the Dog, but it's radio news people staging a fake war that they're supposedly covering. They even show you how they make a kidnap video with the orange shirts and stuff to demand ransom. None of it is happening. And Ricky Gervais is in it. And it's funny, but it's also informative. And it's called Special Correspondence. I watched it like the night before last. And I said, well, this is how the news gets made.
Well, this Netflix thing is pretty fascinating. My wife has just introduced me to House of Cards. We're in the middle of the second season. Kevin Spacey is working his way up the food chain. He's already become vice president. I tell you, the treachery, the deceit, the deception, the murders, it has an absolute ring of authenticity. Anyone who wants to get the real insight into what goes on in Washington, D.C. should check it out.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, the last season got too ridiculous, so I lost interest in it. But, you know, when they ask Kevin Spacey who he's basing his character on, who he's fashioning it on, because, you know, he is a true method actor, he said Dick Cheney.
Yeah, good, good. there's an insight for you. I mean, Dick Cheney is probably the most malevolent figure to ever occupy high office in the history of the United States.
Absolutely. We suffered through 8 years of his presidency. Jim, we're going to take a short break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
She's been called Paula Revere, the mother of the internet and even a legend. The mouth that roars all truth without any input from corporate, religious, or political affiliations. Maria's in it just like you are. Often imitated but never duplicated. Commercial-free talk providing a real education in a world filled with lies, cover-ups, and propaganda. Subscribe now and encourage your friends to do the same. Feel good about supporting real media that supports you and all life on this planet. Pick a subscription of your choice and get started on the journey down the rabbit hole. If you are financially challenged or a senior on a limited income, please send an email to maria@maria.net and she will work something out for you. There's never been a more dangerous or exciting time to be alive. Education is a necessity now. Stay informed. Subscribe today at www.meria.net.
Welcome back to Born in the 1940s, We Remember, with myself and Jim Fetzer. And I really believe that saying that history repeats itself, and we really don't seem to learn anything from history.
You know, Maria, there's been a curious turn in events in the Middle East. I mean, not only did Russian intervention stop the assault on the government of Syria, we're taking out these secular leaders like Muammar Gaddafi, like Saddam Hussein, and then Bashar al-Assad, if they could do it. has just unleashed all these sectarian tensions and fears that extend back over 1,000 years, so that in fact we had great stability in the Middle East before we intervened, before we attacked Iraq, before we took out Gaddafi and all that. But Russia has put an end to it, and now it's ironic that with this fake coup in Turkey, Erdogan has greatly strengthened his hand. He's taken about 10,000 people out of the education system, deans of universities, the military personnel, and all that. But what's ironic about it is that where Turkey has been in cahoots with ISIS, where Erdogan and his son have been benefiting immensely from buying up this oil that's being stolen from Syria and then reselling it, it looks now he wants to normalize relations with Syria and with Russia after having shot down the Russian aircraft, which was a colossal blunder. Putin tightened up the tourist traffic with Turkey, which had been a bonanza for the nation. But it now looks like Turkey's no longer going to be a part of this unholy alliance between Saudi Arabia, Israel, and the United States to promote ISIS. It looks as though it may make a real difference in the region, ironically, because as he becomes more autocratic and he wants to restore the Ottoman Empire, it would seem, where he is the head of an Islamic state, it may actually have great benefits for preserving the integrity of Syria.
It could, but, you know, my opinion is that, you know, once Hillary gets in office, she's going to fight those wars for Israel. She's going to amp up Syria. She's going after Iran.
I agree with you. You're absolutely right. This is before Hillary becomes president, God forbid. But yes, I understand.
Right. I mean, look, both of them have pledged their loyalty to Israel. That makes me want to vomit. And that should be against the law. Okay.
Yeah. McKinney revealed that every new congressman, when he comes to Washington, is asked to sign a pledge to put the interests of Israel ahead of those of the United States. And those who don't sign find themselves confronted with a well-financed alternative candidate, or their districts have been redrawn so they no longer have a seat in Congress. It's outrageous. She showed immense courage in revealing that to the public.
Absolutely. Well, you know, today, you're looking at the news, you know, they're talking about revisiting militarizing the police because of all these staged events. You look at Cain and Hillary, you know, and you got to think what's going to happen to the Second Amendment. And then I see this article, I think in Japan, where some guy with a knife went crazy and stabbed 15 people. So I said, are they going to ban knives? You look at the lie that truck supposedly hit 84 people in France. Are they going to ban trucks? You know, people.
That was a completely contrived phony event in Nice. We have comparisons of trucks that hit a single animal or a train. They have blood smeared all over them. This truck is supposed to have hit 84 people. There's not a speck of blood. Mm-hmm. We have actually looked at the bodies, and we have mannequins there. You got a male mannequin, doesn't have any nipples. He doesn't have a belly button. He doesn't have any body hair. You got a female mannequin. She has a bra, but no breasts, no belly button, no lower rib cage. I mean, it's ridiculous what they're doing here. The prosecutor in Paris demanded that they delete all the CCTV footage in Nice, but the woman in charge refused to do it. And it turns out the man who was claimed to have been the driver is alive and well and wasn't even in France at the time.
Wow. Doesn't that sound familiar? Doesn't that bring you back to 9/11 and the supposed 19 hijackers?
I know. That's absolutely fascinating. That's what this 28 pages, you know, is going to reveal, you know, lead to unraveling the whole thing, because the Saudis have been so upset about the law that would allow American civilians to sue them for their complicity in 9/11. They retaliated by having the Saudi press announce that on 9/11, the United States attacked the United States. And I make that the lead off for a new book I'm publishing now. It should be out next week on 9/11, Maria. It'll be available at moonrockbooks.com. But I'm telling you, this book just takes the whole case apart from the beginning to the end, who was responsible, how it was done, and why.
Well, that'll be another book for my list, my reading list. What did you think about the fact that after using her arch enemy, Elizabeth Warren, for all her campaign stops, she turns around, slaps Elizabeth Warren in the face, and picks Tim Kaine And then I see Elizabeth Warren defending her in her speech yesterday.
Oh, that's embarrassing politics. I mean, fellows and all that.
It was sickening. It was
really
sickening.
Quite outrageous. And there are more. There's an email, by the way, that I was discussing with Jeff Rentz last night. That Huma Abedin, who is Hillary's up close and personal aide, some describe her as her marital partner, was revealing that Hillary has to have her hand held in dealing with issues related to other nations. Because she gets confused and doesn't know what she's doing, and that she slept through an important briefing. She never made it to the scene. That her state of mind may be far worse than we're led to believe.
Well, it's possible. You know, it's possible. It kind of reminds me of Ronald Reagan, doesn't it? Remind you of that? I mean, I'm sure he was.
They took Reagan out of the loop with a fake shooting where actually when he was pushed into the vehicle, a Secret Service man shot him under the armpit. It came close to killing him, but didn't. That was his message, to let George do it, and thereafter he did.
Right, and wasn't the shooter of Reagan, wasn't he a big friend of one of George Bush's sons?
Right, the delegate at Patsy, John Hinckley. The Hinckley family were actually, his parents were having dinner with, I think, the family, the Neil Bushes that very evening. I mean, you know, this is an awfully tight grouping here, Maria.
Exactly. And let's never forget that George Bush Sr. still doesn't remember where he was when Kennedy was shot.
That's ridiculous. He was in Dealey Plaza.
Right.
He actually was supervising a JFK hit team in the Dow Techs. The shooter was an anti-Castro Cuban by the name of Tony Nestor Escudero. They have a statue for him in Freedom Park in Little Havana in Miami, Maria. Where everyone wonders. I mean, the only other statue there is for Jose Marti, who liberated Cuba from Spanish domination. No one's ever heard of this Escudero. But if somebody who's in the know is asked, they'll say he took care of business. He actually fired three shots with a Mannlicher Carcano, the only unsilenced weapon used in Dealey Plaza that day. I've identified six of the shooters. There may have been even more, but I can tell you where they were, who they were, what shot they fired, and what effect they achieved. But George H.W. Bush was there. He was actually arrested coming out of the Dow Tech building, identified himself as a Houston oil man. He was taken downtown and interrogated, but released without keeping any records. Then he was back in front of the book depository. There's a photograph in Jesse Curry's JFK assassination files, a paperback that was issued by 7-Eleven, where he went to be head of security after he retired as the Dallas chief of police, where I may have been the first to identify that person as George Herbert Walker Bush. His height, his weight, his build, his clothing, his manner, his head inclination, his hands in his pockets. It was Bush. And we have two other photographs of great interest. One is of an unusual old guy, a civilian walking past the so-called three tramps. He has a very distinctive left hand and a ring and a walk and a gait. He was identified by no less authorities than Fletcher Prouty, who was a liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA for covert ops, and Victor Krulak, one of the most celebrated of all Marine Corps generals, as the Edward Lansdale, who was responsible for assassinations all over the world. It appeared that Lansdale set this one up by positioning the shooters and determining the sequence of shots. And then we have a third photograph where Edward Lansdale is waiting to speak to George Herbert Walker Bush.
Right. Well, all right, let's shift a little bit because I'm sure you have more to say about this than I do. I noticed that about a week or so ago, CNN News posted 100 videos about Sandy Hook. Why? I mean, I haven't gotten the chance to see any of them because I've been busy covering them.
Ridiculous, Ranson, setting up for this Democratic convention, because Sloan's going to use emotional appeal to Sandy Hook in order to promote a gun control agenda. She's featuring the daughter of Dawn Hofspring, who was supposed to be the principal. Let me tell you a little bit about Dawn. She was actually set up in an interview by the Newtown Bee on the evening of the 13th. It was then published the 14th, where she purportedly he was talking about the shooter being in the building and what was going on, but it turned out, according to official reports, she was the first one shot and killed. It would have been an impossible interview to conduct, and they never were able to explain it away. We know, however, the school was closed by 2008. It was loaded with asbestos and other biohazards. It had been damaged by hurricanes. They confronted the necessity to upgrade to conform with the Americans for Disability Act requirements and decided it would be too expensive to do so, so they abandoned the school. Now, if you simply look at an aerial photograph of Sandy Hook, the parking area, you can tell already something's terribly wrong, because there's none of the familiar blue and white painted parking areas, none of the signage, handicapped parking only. That means it could not have been legally operating in 2012. Not only that, but it was a 28 degree Fahrenheit ground temperature day. If that was an open school, you'd have steam and heat rising from the building. But the boilers were so decrepit since they hadn't been used for 4 years, they couldn't even heat the building. And then look at the center rows of vehicles. They're all pointed toward the school. That's ridiculous. The driving instructions off of Dickinson Drive, you come in, you turn right, you go around, and you park facing away from the school. But it was so much easier and more convenient just to bring the vehicles in a single line and put it in two by two by two by two, since they were simply serving as props. That's exactly what they did. So just by looking at that single photograph, you know the whole thing is a sham.
Right, but you see there's such a preponderance of shootings now. France, Germany, here, there, Japan, stabbings, trucks.
Well, even this Munich thing appears to be fraudulent. I have a report that the footage they used inside the mall actually was from a drill that had been conducted months before. That's typical of what they do here, Maria. This is all fabricated and fake. And the timing can be exquisite. For example, I went to the, check out after Trump's very, very fine speech on Thursday and Friday. We got one of these terrorist events. It wipes it right off of the page. They do this again and again. They did it right after the James Comey and Loretta Lynch gave Hillary a free pass. They had another one of these fake terrorist attacks to wipe it up. These are CIA-style tactics, which reinforce my point. Hillary is the CIA candidate for president of the United States.
Well, she's also the Rothschild pick. Let's not leave that out.
That's right.
Now, I read somewhere that this, and it was probably in the presentation you just sent me, that the driver who supposedly was driving that truck in Nice has close ties to Israel, and that his wife is a well-known politician in Israel.
It's the guy who was the photographer who did the filming.
He is the one
who has all the ties to Israel. And get this, Maria, talk about your incredible coincidence. He also did the filming in Munich of the shooting there.
I guess he's the Johnny on the spot. Was he the guy that filmed the World Trade Center and the dancing Israelis, too?
Since the Zionist ops are setting these things up, he knows where to be and when to be there.
You remember after the other events in France, Netanyahu immediately was there trying to talk people into moving to Israel.
Yeah. You're talking about after Charlie Hebdo and after the French attack on the Bataclan, club, which was also a fraudulent event. Those were dummies in the club. They had a weird thing painted by a mop. It was an outline. It may have been cow's blood, chicken blood, but it had an odd shape, and it was only later that we realized it corresponded to this red B for Brussels. So they were giving a sign of what was going to come next. Brussels, by the way, was another completely fabricated event. I interviewed two world-class experts about it. Nick Kullerstrom from the UK, who is the world's leading expert on the 7/7 London bombing, his book Terror on the Tube is in its third edition, and Uli Domegaard, who is an expert on assassins and assassinations and has been interviewed all over the world too. They just took the Brussels apart. That's on the real deal. Put in the real deal their names in Brussels, it'll pop right up.
Right, but you look at all these mass shootings worldwide, so what's the agenda? Is it the police state, the one world army? Is it just to reinforce fear, fear, fear? Because it seems to me, Jim, that people are getting immune to these stories. They don't even care.
Well, I think they are. I think they've overplayed their hand, and that's right. The intended effect was to instill instill fear in the people and make them feel more dependent upon the government for protection. And what's going on here is really to set things up so it looks as though the country is out of control, civilians are at risk, and Obama can invite the United Nations in to impose martial law. I have no doubt at all that this is the agenda.
Well, but I think, like you said, they've overplayed their hand. You know, people are just bored with it. I mean, after that attack in France, people, like, you know, 2 hours later, they were out partying and just living their lives. And I would think that people are getting disgusted because that proves, the more of these events we have, that our government can't protect us. Look, every event, they buy, shop more and more, buy more and more guns.
I like that. Actually, you know, Trump is making that point himself, and every time they have one of these terrorist attacks, his support goes up by a point or two. I mean, it's really ridiculous. Frank Lutz, by the way, who's a very good pollster, had a focus group after the Trump speech, and there were like 20 people who were either against Trump or were undecided. After the speech, 10 of them had decided they were going to support Trump. The speech had a 56% on. This speech made me much more likely to vote for Trump. He predicted then that by Monday, yesterday, Trump would be in the lead. And by God, yesterday, Trump was in the lead 48-45 nationally. He had a 6-point bump up. She had a 4-point bump down. That's a 10-point difference. That speech made a real impact on the country. And I think, therefore, they're going all out with this Democratic convention, where it's just fascinating to me that the Debbie Wasserman show fiasco and all these emails may mean that in the end the Democratic Party is more divided than ever, whereas the Republicans are relatively unified. While I agree with you too that we have to look more at the other parties, the Libertarian and the Green. I mean, I'm telling you, everything I read about Jill Stein impresses me tremendously.
Absolutely, because to me, you know, listen, when people in Europe are asking me, my answer is the same. The difference between Hillary and Trump is Hillary, slow death, Trump, fast death. Because I wouldn't trust him with nuclear codes as far as I can throw him. And I thought Trump's speech was nothing but bloviating, screaming at everybody for 75 minutes. I think it was the longest speech in history. And I found it repulsive. And what scares me more are the crazy people that are cheering him. And you know, that's, you know, kind of how Hitler and Mussolini got their position. But I say, okay, we're either going to have nuclear war, we're going to have, you know, low-level nuclear wars with Hillary. So there's your pick. You know what I mean?
I differ in my assessment. I think with Hillary, she's going to provoke war with Russia, and we're all going to be cremated instantaneously. She is the worst possible outcome in terms of foreign affairs. Again, I reiterate, I prefer the Democrats' policies on domestic issues across the board, including, of course, women's reproductive rights. On the other hand, I think that Trump is a far better and more able to minimize future wars. He's a non-interventionist, not an isolationist. He'll restore cordial relations with Russia, with China. He'll get rid of the TPP. Don't forget, once the TPP is passed, America is doomed, because it creates a board of international corporate attorneys who can override the laws and statutes of any nation, up to and including the Constitution of the United States, which Barack Obama somehow has forgot to mention to the American people.
Right. Well, you know, as polls go, they've known all along that Bernie Sanders was the guy that could beat Trump by double digits, and yet they did not go with him. So what card do they have up their sleeve is what you have to ask.
Well, they didn't just not go with him. They actually sabotaged his campaign.
Uh-huh.
He should have won Illinois. He should have won Missouri. He should have won Ohio. He won California, it's going to turn out. I guarantee you, it would have changed the whole situation. And the trouble is, Bernie knows better, Maria. And this is why I'm impressed with your observation, that he could have pulled a Cruz at the Democratic Convention and been at least consistent with his own principles. Instead, he's kowtowed and given in to the forces of Hillary, which are of evil and darkness.
Right. Well, Jim, we've had another quick show. I don't even want to say it, what's going to happen between now and our next show. show in 2 weeks.
I know. Unbelievable.
You just got, what was that line in that old Clark Gable movie? Strap on your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy ride.
Yeah, it's a bumpy ride already, my friend.
I know. Well, thanks so much, Jim. We'll talk soon.
You got it.
Take
my pleasure.
Care. Jim Fetzer, check out his work. He's all over the place. He's on YouTube. He's got a blog. He's got his own radio show. And there you have it. America 2016. Can it get any more FUBAR? I don't even want to question that. Anyway, tomorrow I have an extra show for you. Alan Rowland is coming back on the show. I think you're going to enjoy it. And on Thursday, I'll be here with the news. Thanks for supporting the show.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.